Hey everyone, Vito from More Beer here. We're in Livermore, California, outside Shadow Puppet Brewing, owned by a friend of mine, Craig. But inside right now, they're doing the tasting exam for beer judge certification. I've been a beer judge for many years now. I think it was one of the things that got me to make better beer. I think it'll help you make better beer. Becoming a beer judge is awesome. So we're gonna go in and talk to Brian Cooper, who is proctoring the exam right now, and talk about how to become a beer judge. What is the BJCP? If you're interested in becoming a beer judge, this is the episode for you. So let's go in inside and check it out. All right, Brian, hey, thanks for taking the time to sit with us and talk about beer judging. So just want to introduce you. So you're a Grandmaster Level 1 BJCP judge.
Yes, sir.
You're also the host of the Dr. Homebrew podcast, or one of the hosts.
The co-host.
The founder of the Mad Zymergist Homebrew Club.
Mad Zymergist, local club here in Livermore, Pleasanton, Dublin area.
And then...
East Bay Area of California.
Also the West Coast representative of the BJCP, which is the Beer Judge Certification Program.
Yeah.
So thanks again for sitting with us. What are some of the benefits of becoming a beer judge? Because, you know, for me, you know, I was like, well, this is something I want to do because of Lee. And, you know, he said there's always a shortage of judges. But some of the benefits, some of the ones that come to mind is like, I feel like I became a better brewer once I learned the judging side of things, because I learned, you know, that. Also, the other cool thing, but I'd like to hear from you too, is like, I get emails now, like, come judge this down in, you know, this other state, you know? So like being asked to judge places is kind of cool. So, but what are some of the benefits of becoming a beer judge?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. First and foremost, I think was just the educational aspect of, you know, I was, had been brewing for a little while, and my beers had a certain level of, you know, I won a few awards, but I wanted to learn how to dial some things in a little better. And you can definitely improve your own brewing and help friends improve, you know, their brewing by picking up on different things. Like, oh, that's what that is. Okay. That's what acetaldehyde. To me, it tastes like pumpkin skins in the beer. You smell that pumpkin skin-like thing. Others get it as a green apple. And there are people that are blind to things like diacetyl. They can't get it in their beer, but another judge will smell it and help them out. Like, oh, okay, you need to do a diacetyl rest to get that out of your beer. And you can help your friends. You can make your own beer better. That's a really cool part of it. But yeah, being invited to competitions to judge, you know, some competitions really take care of their judges and you know, feed them a nice meal.
Get your hotel room, all that.
Sometimes hotel rooms. Yeah. I get invited to these ones down in Mexico. I'd like to sometime actually do the Copa Baja, I think it is. And when you pass the exam, that's just the beginning. You've got your certification. You've demonstrated that you can judge and taste and smell and describe and give feedback on beer to a level that is, you know, commendable. You've earned the certification. From there, the education begins, and you work with other judges. Like, you know, you keep talking about Lee, and I work with Lee and other people back in the day when I was first starting to judge, and it's a very welcoming community. And you go into a competition as a novice and you just earn your certification, and you're like, oh, I don't feel qualified. Like, but a lot of times the higher level judges, the others that you're working with, they just want to talk about beer intelligently like you do. It's a collaborative process. It's an educational process all the way through. And I'm still learning from lower level judges, higher level judges, all the time. It's just a part of the fun of learning more about craft beer and homebrewing.
I'm really glad you said the community, because yeah, like we talk about like, oh, it's cool that you're gonna make better beer, you're gonna, you know, be invited to these things, but at the end of the day, the thing that has brought me in just homebrewing in general is the community, right? Like meeting people like you, like Lee, like, and judging is the same thing. The clubs, the community. I think that's really what makes what we're doing so amazing. Is there's just amazing community, you know, and we're all from different walks of life, etc. And we get together and come together over this common love for beer. So, you know, it is the community, the judging community, the brewing community, all amazing.
That's what it's all about.
I judged Nationals last year, and I sit down, and then Gordon Strong's right at the table with him judging, and it was like, oh my God, we're not worthy kind of moment, you know. But he was totally great guy.
He didn't browbeat you or
anything,
right?
Not at all. Like, the people that are way up at the top, you know, they're loving and welcoming, and just a great community. So we're going to go into beer judging. So let's start with telling everyone, what is the BJCP?
The Beer Judge Certification Program is just that. It's an organization that certifies judges. They have an exam program. They also help to sanction competitions. So if you want to register a competition and have it have some gravity of this is a BJCP sanctioned event, contact them, go through the process, fill out the info and get your competition registered. And then you have a sanctioned comp. So all the big comps are sanctioned, then they put the schedule together so judges know when and where all that stuff is. It's founded in 1985, and the judge program has expanded worldwide. It started out being more, you know, in the States and built up a, you know, critical mass of judges here, but then other regions wanted to come in, and there's a lot of judges in Latin America, you know, in Asia, Middle East and Europe and just all over the place. So we've had to add regions and representatives for those areas, and it's continuing to grow.
So beer judge certification program, BJCP, but it is worth mentioning, and I know some of my friends out there that are mead and cider judges would be mad if I didn't mention this, but there is also a mead and cider program as well, right?
Absolutely. I just earned my mead certification last year, and yeah, an exam that my friend Harindu gave.
Oh, Harindu, yeah.
And from Doe's. And we had a, you know, a dozen people there become beer judges, or sorry, mead judges. And some of them, one of them is actually here today. We gave an exam today. Well, a few people from that mead exam were here too, including one of our proctors. But, you know, got a guy that's just getting his beer certification now too. He started with mead. And you can go any direction that, you know.
Well, yeah, shout out to Harindu, Pavel, all our mead and cider people. But today we're talking beer, so let's keep digging into
Absolutely.
That. All right, so next one, the style guidelines. What are the BJCP style guidelines? Just kind of explain that to me, you know, what and everybody else out there. What are the BJCP style guidelines?
So, yeah, it's a framework of style descriptions that can be used in a competition to define the beer styles that you're accepting in that competition, and give the judges a reference to go to as they're looking what that should be expected in that beer. And, you know, they've been put together by mainly Gordon Strong from the BJCP with Chris Englund and some other people that have contributed. You can look at the notes about who, you know, in the introduction, kind of explaining what it does encompass and what it isn't. It's not meant to be all end all for everything. And, you know, some styles have more of a range than others, and they're working to standardize the language for each of the styles and just present it in a, you know, fairly straightforward way about how to understand a style, including the aroma, the appearance, what the beer should look like, how the, you know, how the head retention is, the color, the texture of the head, and color of the foam, everything to the flavor, getting into the beef of things, and you know, malt, hops, how the fermentation characteristics are playing in the beer, the balance of it, finish and aftertaste, and other things, you know, the bitterness level, everything just comes into play, how that beer balances out and what, you know, what attributes are expected in a certain style. Then also the mouthfeel, which is just how the beer feels in your mouth, literally. Does it feel like syrup or water, or, you know, and does it have any astringency, like a biting sensation, any creaminess, like a smooth, creamy quality? You know, things like that. Where's the carbonation at? You feel that too, a little carbonic bite in certain beers. There's a little history in them in the guidelines too. You can always dig deeper into that. There's a little blurb about each beer history and what it kind of, you know, style comparisons as well, showing what it, you know, what it might be similar to.
Commercial examples
could be
mistaken
as well. For, and then you get, yeah, the classic commercial examples.
I remember when I was studying for the exam, you know, trying to get some of these classic examples. And yeah, sometimes, you know, I didn't travel to Belgium or Germany.
No.
So I had to get them and taste them. But the guidelines are great. You know, they tell you, like you said, the aroma, you know, the color, the flavor, what I'm looking for. And
kind
of, it's just a shared reference point for all of us to. But I think it's worth noting, and in my time judging, and I'm sure in your time judging too, they change over time. So like Dortmunder's no longer part of the, you know, it's changed. And like Hazy IPA has been added to the style guidelines. So you know, I think
really
one of the most we saw the change in, and rightfully so, was the IPA category, right?
Yeah,
you had different, you know, red IPA, you know, brown IPA,
expanded.
expanded that. And, you know, because the IPA is such a broad range, you know, so.
Yeah. And they've, yeah, I mean, the Hazy IPA edition, that probably came a little late, but, you know, it was getting very popular right after the prior.
You kind of have to make sure it's going to stick around before you add it, right?
Did we know, was it going to be a flash in the pan, like the Brut IPA? But, it, you know, there's still a guideline for Brut IPA out there, and you know, somebody took the time to write that, if it came back and was more popularized, then you'd have a reference to judge it
by. I'm drinking a cold IPA right now.
Yeah.
You know, will that be added?
Optimal results,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
That very well may be added.
You know, I think some of the nods, speaking of brute, you know, like, I think cold IPA kind of took from, you know, dry, you know, the lighter, you know, like, yeah, you know, some similarities there, so yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Before we would have the specialty category, right? That's where like a lot of these would fall into, and you'd be judging and you're like, hey, I'm getting an IPA, I'm getting this like, you know, crazy stout, you know? So it's like, it is nice to expand those guidelines, right, over time. And so then you're not just, you know, how do you judge these beers against each other, you know?
And occasionally things will, you know, a historical style will get revived, a Kentucky Common. They brew in here, you know, it's pretty decent beer, but you know, some of the styles that will become more popular and become, you know, a part of the main style guidelines, but then there's a section for historical styles where if you want a good, you know, brew a pre-prohibition lager or something, you can brew that, look what the guidelines are supposed to be for that, what do those beers taste like, you know, back before prohibition started, and, you know, where did they come from? There's history for those things too, just interesting to read up on. And, you know, sometimes styles come in, like right now, I hear a lot about Grodziskis. Pivo Grodziski. It's getting really popular in the Northwest. And that, I mean, there's styles that have pretty much died out that people are tasting again and realizing, wow, this is actually a nice balance for this beer and it works in another region and, you know, pops up and gets more popular. So
yeah, that's the awesome thing about, I mean, homebrewing and brewing in general, right? Like there's always stuff to learn, but then it's also evolving over time. So that's just really cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Real quick, and I don't know the answer, but I'm hoping you do off the top. So is there 36 styles? How many styles is there within the guidelines? I think it's 36, and then there's
34 is the specialty beer.
And then there's subs of those. So it really blows out to what, like 90 or something?
There's like three or four in each, you know, each category. So yeah, there's you know, over 100 something. I don't know the exact number, but
yeah,
there's quite a few beers defined here.
But so there's a beer style, you know, out there for everyone, pretty much, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you can also, you don't have to go just by the BJCP. If you get the beer style guidelines app, it also has the ones that are used in the, you know, the BA, like, you know, their competitions, you know, like the Great American Beer Fest has their own guidelines, and the BJCP is open to that. We can, you know, we can sanction a competition, but not necessarily make you judge by our guidelines. You can define as many and as broad of styles as you want and have 30 different versions of IPA or whatever your, if it's a commercial competition, you know, to spread that stuff out and make it, you know, work for them and, you know, define styles that are popular right now. We were doing a show on Dr. Homebrew about Mexican lagers. Mm. And it just falls under, like, you know, pale international lagers. Yeah. But really, I think eventually that, you know, it's been a style for a while, if you think about it. And maybe the next time guidelines come out, there'll be a Mexican lager. We don't know.
Tell me about the scoring. So it's a 50-point scale?
Yeah, it's a 50-point scale. And there's ranges right on the score sheet. There's world-class beers, and, you know, and then there's excellent and very good, you know, and fair, where the beer needs some improvement down in the teens. Like a, you know, if you get to a beer that's like a 38 to 44, that's in the excellent range.
That's going to move on, yeah.
45 and above is like world class. That's going to be, you know, probably one of the best examples of a given style that you've tasted in your life tasting beer.
Say I give a beer a 28 and you give a beer a 43. What happens after that? I think it's worth talking about that.
Yeah, if you're judging together in a competition, sometimes you have a judge pair or a judge trio, and one of the guys just disagrees. As like, you know, I scored this a 40. It's really good to me. And then the two found something in it where it was a little more objectionable to them. A lot of times when you're tasting together, you and I can sit down and talk about a beer. It's like, oh, maybe I was a little
too glowing on that.
But you don't necessarily need to. Like, you stick to your guns. Like, no, this was really bad. I thought there was really
a rule. Is it a rule of, like, you need to be within seven?
Within 5 to 7 points is where you want to be. And then you'll give a consensus score for the beer where the judges say, okay, well, this, you know, regardless, this guy scored it a 30. These other two gave it a 37. Your consensus score might be a 35 or a 36. And you just decide, let's decide on that. We're okay. We're adults here. This is what this beer deserves. Okay. But it doesn't need to be a, you know, a punching match or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I've been at some tables where it does feel like that.
Yeah. It gets a little intense. Yeah, we're talking about beer here. It's an important thing.
Yes, definitely. I totally agree. All right, so we know what the BJCP is. We know what the style guidelines are. Walk me through becoming a beer judge. Today you were proctoring part of becoming a beer judge, but let's talk through, you know, if someone out there who wants to become a beer judge, let's tell them how to do that and the steps that it, we'd walk through to do that.
I wanted to become a beer judge. I thought about it and it's like, okay. And I tried doing it all on my own. And I kind of went out and I, you know, had at the time printed copies of the guidelines and I would bring them out and, you know, as I was tasting beers, kind of try to get at some of the different flavor and aroma attributes that was, you know, are being called out in those guidelines and learn how to taste beer. David Teckham, one of our proctors today, he's my judging mentor and helped me out when I started. I was talking to him at Northern California Homebrews Festival one year, like in 07. And I was like, what do I do if I want to, you know, our club was just starting out that year and we got a little booth there. And I'm like, what do I do if I want to become a beer judge? And, you know, he was already like a master or grandmaster level at the time. And he grabs a syllabus from his beer judging course that he was running at the time. And he's like, here, you can do this. And I'll come help you. I'll teach a class or two, give you this syllabus. You can make your own set of classes. So we just enlisted all these different, you know, people from different homebrew clubs around the area. Lee Shepherd.
That's the reason. That was my mentor. Yeah.
Some of these guys that had been doing it for a while and were presidents of the clubs back then. Yeah, Miss Lee a lot. You know, and they came in and helped educate us and gave us our start. David did the intro class towards the end of 2007. And we had a group of, you know, good dozen people that were interested in it as well.
So the exam at that point, I think, was different. In 2015 is kind of where it's at now, right, is when it changed?
It changed in 2012 was when
2012,
the biggest change came, when it went from being a full three-hour exam that you take the first time and write essay questions, and beers are coming out as you're doing that. And there were, you know, true-false questions at the start. The legacy exam was, you know, an exercise in just writing and writing and writing and writing.
So today, now you take a online entrance exam first, right? That's the first step. And it's a timed exam, right? If I recall correctly, you got like an hour to take that. So you really can't be looking in a book. You kind of got to
take that. It's about 20 seconds a question. There's like 200 questions. And you just go through. And if you don't, it's really hard to try to sit and look everything up. You know, if you don't know.
So you got to do some homework.
Styles, internalize a lot of that. And you can't answer the questions quickly. There's also some...
It's not just styles, too. It's like brewing processes, right?
And, right. The procedures of judging, where different off flavors come from, what's appropriate in a certain beer. And a lot of times the questions are very tricky because it's multiple choice, multiple answer. And you have to choose the two, or is it three, or how many things are right in this, or none of the above, or all of the above. So, you know, you have to be really careful on some of the questions. And a lot of people that just go in and take it out of the blue, you know, they won't pass the first time. A lot of times homebrewers have a little advantage over, you know, the common public, even well-educated craft brew aficionados may do okay. They might pass it, but once you get some of that brewing knowledge and understand what these guys are doing to make the beer and gals, you know, taste and balance the way it is and the procedures that you need and the ingredients that you need to make a good example of a certain style, you're not going to do well on the exam.
So it goes without saying you want to study, right? You got to do that. Then you take the online exam. I think it's, you know, $20 or $30. It's not too expensive, right?
Or it's $10. You get three for $20 and, you know, just have three chances to pass it.
So once you pass that, you're not recognized at that point, right?
No, you're just a provisional judge.
A provisional judge. So now you have the ability to take what we did today, which is the written exam, right? So then you have a year, I think?
You get a year time frame to go and take your in-person, you know, judging exam, which I administer today. And boy, it's, you know.
And there's only, you kind of got to look around, because I remember like when I passed the online portion, and I was like, oh, okay, there's one coming up in San Francisco a couple months from now.
Right.
So it's like in your region, you got to find the one, and there's not a ton of them going on, right?
You may have to expect to plan to travel a little bit for some of the exams.
Beer vacation, not a bad idea.
Yeah, if you're in a little more of a remote area, you know, find something that's close to you. contact the exam administrator as far in advance as possible and just make sure that they've got you in for their exams. Usually first come, first served.
So let's talk about that. So I've passed the online exam. Yeah. I've got my certificate. I'm ready to sign up for the exam that you administered today. Talk me through, what is the next? So I take today's test. What does that entail?
To become a judge, you need to hit a 60% score on the judging exam. You're graded on your perceptions, your descriptive ability, the feedback that you give to the brewer, and your completeness on the sheet, just the way how completely you comment on every aspect of the beer. If you forget to comment on the hops, even in a malty beer, even if there's no hops detectable in the nose, you need to do that. And then
that's a great tip. It's like beaver boast, right? Like, yeah, you want to fill out. That was what I was told is like, make sure you fill out each section. Yeah, right.
Fill them out completely. Yeah. Completeness is a big part of this, 20% of the score. And then a part of it is there are three proctors that judge the beers along with you, the same beers that the administrator presents. And they rate the beers even longer score sheets than the examinee version with a lot of detail. And that's passed to the graders along with your exam. And the grader will look at each exam, see how well the examinee did on this and that. But their scoring accuracy is calculated by how closely they're aligned with the proctors on the exam. So the proctors scored a 20 and they scored a 40, you're not gonna, it'll be like,
and that's sent off to BJCP headquarters or some, like I remember when I took it, they went to another state and then I had to wait like 2 or 3 months before I got my results back, right?
Yeah, these days all the score sheets get scanned and they're sent in to the exam director, and from there they feed them to graders that they've chosen for a certain exam. And the graders, they're volunteer. It's all volunteer work, and they're doing a lot of service for the program and the people in the exam program. I respect them a lot.
So I take the test. I score a 770, mid 70s. Now I need points in order to become certified. Correct?
Right. You gotta get the 5 points.
How do I get those points?
So you can get points from stewarding the competition, which is a way I'd recommend to a lot of people getting their first experience in a competition environment, and they help bring out the beers to the judges. They collect their sheets, check their math, give a sheet back to the judge that needs to correct something, and make sure they're supplied with crackers and water and that stuff. And you don't treat them like the hired help. They're really good stewards in the program that just are. Just love stewarding and maybe don't want to become a judge, and they do a fine job at that. There are others that a lot of times at the end of a judging, a steward is able to taste that beer after the judges have gone through, done their full process, reconciled, hit their consensus score, and a lot of times they're just, here, taste this. It's got it's a pretty good example of the style, but it's got a light little bit of fruitiness in it that it shouldn't have in a lager, and we scored it down in the mid-30s or whatever it was.
I did a lot of stewarding before I took the exam, which was great, and I recommend that for anybody out there. I was more into competition brewing, so I was kind of just like looking, trying to look behind the curtain and see how it worked.
What's going on here?
But the good thing is it allowed me to build up a lot of points, so then when I took the test, I became certified right away.
Like half of them to be from judging.
So, yeah, I think I did have to judge an exam. I think I judged some competitions before that, because you can judge without being a certified judge. They're just going to rank you up or put you up with someone who's higher ranked, right?
Right. Yeah, they'll accept novice judges in some competitions. Not at the national level. NHC is looking for at least certified or national master. Yeah, you can judge as a novice, and usually you'll be paired with two other BJCP judges or one other BJCP judge, and it's a part of your education there too. And you don't have to just, kowtow to the judge. You can, if you're an experienced taster or brewer, you know what you're doing just to a great extent. You can talk about the beer intelligently. You knew what you were doing before you got that certification.
Yeah, I think as a commercial brewer, you could judge. Just that's a checkbox on
there. There's
like, I love now I can do commercial brewer plus certified plus,
we're going through, tasting courses and sensory evaluation.
Yeah. Just doing that, yeah.
Yeah, and that's part of what we did with our exam group, too, is we got the Zeeble kit, which has 12 different doses, and you spike a Coors Light or whatever light lager you want with those. to taste, oh, okay, this is what isovaleric acid tastes like, you know, the cheesy aspect of the hops. And this is,
Acetobacter, diacetyl.
You know, DMS, acetaldehyde, diacetyl, yeah, all those fun ones.
So, okay, I need a certain amount of points, and it's five? Is it five?
Five to certify.
Become certified. Yeah. If I score above a 70. Now, if I want to become a national judge, how many points and score do I need to do that?
Right. So that's hitting another level where, let's say you hit that 70 the first time you took the exam, you retake it and hit that 80 plus, then you qualify to take the written examination. So, and on that, it's, you know, five essay questions in 90 minutes. You get to take, there are no beers presented on that one. You've taken your tasting exam, your tasting score becomes half of what your average score will be to hit a certain level. So, you know, if you hit an 82 on the tasting and you get a 78 on the written exam, it averages to an 80, you're national with a certain number of points. You need, you know, 20. I believe it's 20. It's been a while since I've had to look at that. You know, I'm over 200 points now.
But wow.
I'm going for Grandmaster 2. I'll be there soon. I've been judging as much as I can, and I've graded over the years too, so that counts towards the... There's a thing called the Grandmaster Service Requirement above that.
Oh yeah,
as
don't
well.
You have to do a certain, like proctoring this exam, that's like giving back to the community, right? That's part of, that process.
Since it is all volunteer, you're, you know, adding service to the organization as a requirement for getting certain kinds of points. So yeah, let's say you hit national at 80 plus or master at 90 plus and then get the, you know, 40 points for that, I believe it is. And then I should know all this stuff, right?
That's okay.
But yeah, additional levels of master. Once you hit 90 and get the points for that, you're master. And then to proceed to grandmaster, you need grandmaster service requirement, which is, I believe 240 points of GMSR service, which is from things like grading, giving exams, proctoring exams, and, you know, doing educational stuff. Sometimes you can earn points for giving service back to the organization and helping other judges up, which I've always enjoyed doing from the beginning too. Like, instead of going to a course, we just planned our own course with Dave Teckham's guidance and made our own course and brought in whoever we could to help us do it. And I liked learning, you know, by teaching and just kind of doing and being a part of it, and
having taught homebrew classes and stuff like that, I think it is a great way for you to learn as well, right? Like you're
check
learning
your own knowledge.
Yes. It's a great. So yeah, I totally recommend that. And just talking about the leveling up, I think I don't want to say this, but a lot of homebrewers might be gamers too. I'm a gamer, so it kind of appeals to the like gamer in you. Level up, yeah, right? It's kind of fun, yeah. So I enjoy that side of things too, of like leveling up and, you know, and just getting your little pins and things like that, you know. It's kind of cool. It's fun. Well, Brian, hey, thank you for taking time to do this. Like we said, amazing community. Appreciate you.
Thanks to you. You know, you guys are doing good work. I like the video series is fun, and hopefully this will... encourage some people that are thinking about judging, maybe talk about taking that next step. Work, you know.
Where, this is a great point. Where would they go to if they want to take that next step?
Well, the exam schedule's on bjcp.org. You can go there and seek out an exam. And the exam administrator could possibly give you some resources. But I think the best place to start out is in your local homebrew club. If you're not in one yet, or you don't want to be in one, it's okay. You can reach out to these people. And a lot of times they'll be the ones running educational courses that'll get you that.
And the AHA
foundation
has a list of local homebrew clubs. So you could actually look at your state, see where you're at, see if there's a local homebrew club, and they're gonna be probably your best resource. I agree.
Right. Yeah. Just talk to, local beer knowledgeable people and brewers that you might know, and they might be able to help steer you in a certain direction and give you some resources as well. You can, like I said, you can do the self-study thing, and people go through it and
I think there's some online test exams and things like that. I remember doing some of those initially.
Yeah, you can do the practice exam. That's a good place to start if you're thinking about it. It'll give you an idea for how, difficult and detail oriented the entrance exam really is. It's like 20 questions and you just go through it. If you do well on that, then you're probably at a good baseline where you might be able to go for it, do a little additional study, get hooked up with an exam study group or an administrator that's going to feed you some materials to work on your own and get you there. But it's a journey, and you don't have to start out with the grandest aspirations. A lot of people are just happy to get that recognized or certified and go out and take part in competitions and have some fun. And if you work at it, it's not too hard to get there. That's what, you know, Dave Teckham has a real can-do attitude. When he handed me his syllabus, he's like, you can do this. This is, it's really not that hard. He helped to demystify it for me, and I hope, you know, I've helped to do that for some people out there as well. And, you know, just enjoy the process. You don't have to rush towards it, but you can work towards becoming a beer judge. And a lot of you probably already are beer judges. You just don't know it yet.
Exactly. That's what Lee told me. Yeah. I was like, dude, you've got this.
You've got the knowledge.
So every journey starts with one step. So take that step. Go to, you know, bjcb.org. Seek out your local homebrew club. Thanks, Brian, for going over this today. Thank you guys for watching this. Hopefully you enjoyed. Tell us how you liked it in the comments. Let us know if you're a beer judge, if you want to become a beer judge. If you have any questions, go ahead and ask us. I'll answer. Maybe I'll get Brian to jump on there and answer some of those questions too. But thank you for watching, and see you at the judging table.